By this time you may be thinking that I have got rather a long way from the journey to Il Convento. But that is not really the case. Buddhism sees mundane existence as stratified into three great planes or worlds, each with its subsidiary worlds or subplanes. These three worlds or planes, loka, dhatu, are those of 1. Desire for sensuous experience, karma; 2. Archetypal form, rupa; and 3. No archetypal form, arupa, or perhaps we should say extremely subtle archetypal form. Beyond these three worlds, there lies the unconditioned or transcendental. In terms of spiritual cosmography, the spiritual life consists of a journey from the world or plane of sensuous desire through the worlds or planes of archetypal form and extremely subtle archetypal form to the unconditioned or transcendental. And it is of this archetypal journey that the journey to Il Convento is an image or symbol. Thus, when you start your journey by leaving England, you are not just leaving grey skies. What you are really doing is leaving your old interests and activities, your old habits and attachments, your old way of life, and even your old self. What you are really doing is leaving the world of sensuous desire. Similarly, when you visit this or that town or city en route and do your sightseeing, you're not just looking at churches and palaces, museums and art galleries, gardens and grottos, not just admiring buildings, sculptures and paintings. What you're really doing is moving from one image, i.e. archetype image, to another, or travelling through a world of images. What you're really doing is traversing the world or plane of archetypal form. The world or plane of extremely subtle archetypal form really falls outside the scope of the comparison, except perhaps in the case of those who spent summertime in the Alps. In the same way, when you arrive at Il Convento, you arrive at the threshold of the transcendental, for you have made the journey to Il Convento in the hope of being ordained, or, in more traditional language, of being able to go for refuge to the three jewels. And not only are the three jewels essentially transcendental, but the act of going for refuge to them is ultimately transcendental too. Thus, the journey to Il Convento is not only a journey from west to east and from north to south, not only a crooked or zigzag journey, not only an opportunity for sightseeing, it is also an inner journey, an inner exploration that takes one through the three great worlds or planes of mundane existence up to the very threshold of the transcendental. Of course, I hardly need to tell you that however successfully you might have accomplished the journey to Il Convento in the literal sense, and the fact that you are here at all means that you have done at least that, in a metaphorical sense, you have probably accomplished the journey only in the most rudimentary fashion. In particular, your journey through the world of images would probably have been of a very sketchy nature and have taken place at a comparatively low level. Indeed, it may have consisted in little more than a series of brief forays into unfamiliar regions where images loomed as though through mist, rather than revealing themselves in brilliant sunshine against skies eternally blue. But even if this should have been the case, it does not, in a sense, matter very much. The real journey to Il Convento has to be made not once, but many times. Each time you make the journey, you make it in a more thoroughgoing fashion, or so to speak, at a higher level. It is like making your way up a mountain by a spiral path. Each time you circle the mountain, you circle it at a higher level, but it is the same mountain that you are circling. Thus, each time you make the journey to Il Convento and leave the world of sensuous desire, traverse the world of images, and arrive at the threshold of the transcendental, you do so in a fuller and more effective manner than you did before. Your old way of life and your own self, your old self, is increasingly abandoned. Well, far from being a series of brief forays into unfamiliar regions, your journey through the world of images is a more and more protracted sojourn among archetype images of ever-increasing refinement, richness, beauty, and sublimity, among which you feel more and more at home. Christian images will no doubt eventually be left far behind, and perhaps Buddhist images too, and one will find oneself in the presence of the archetypes which those images embody, and even in the presence of the archetypes of the archetypes. But before that happens, one will perhaps have realized that images are not, in fact, such fixed and definite things as one originally thought. Images are fluid. They can change, which means that their significance can change.